It's time for Minnesota Reads, a feature on Northland Morning featuring Minnesota authors talking about their work. We have on the phone with us this morning Dave Page, an editor of a book called The Thought Book of F. Scott Fitzgerald. So in many ways, it's the written work by two Minnesotans. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Tell us a little bit about, first of all, The Thought Book, this diary of F. Scott Fitzgerald. This is not an adult diary. This is a childhood writing.
Yeah, and it's not really quite a diary. The Thought Book is a really good title for it. It has lists and little vignettes and snippets of conversation. There are a couple diary entries in it, but it's really a lot of different stuff thrown together when he was about 14.
I mean, I realize that finding a new novel by F. Scott Fitzgerald is one thing, but to find some sort of just personal writings by him, and especially at a young age, do we see a glimpse of the novelist of the future coming out?
Oh, absolutely. People have known about The Thought Book for quite a while, but it's really clear to see that it's like the third or fourth oldest thing we have of Fitzgerald, and you can really see how he continues to improve in his writing in The Thought Book. Some of the more mature Fitzgerald comes out.
It's a short
collection. Short.
It's about 24 pages.
And there's some pages missing.
Okay.
There's like 7 pages missing. You know, there's a big mystery about, you know, what happened to those 7 pages. maybe he took them to use them later and didn't put them back with The Thought Book. Maybe his mother, you know, destroyed them. Maybe his daughter destroyed them. Maybe they were stolen. So we're not really sure. But, you know, the other pages, yeah, there's only about 24 pages. He had been working on some short stories for his school publication, and then The Thought Book is kind of there. And then right after The Thought Book ends, he starts working on some more short stories and plays. So he was always working on something, a writing project, ever since he was very young. And this is just part of the arc of that.
It's fascinating to know that he kind of knew early on that writing was going to be his thing, and that that he was working on these things. So is The Thought Book more just, is it kind of a workshop for him to sort of try out some things, just scribble some thoughts and notes to sort of maybe generate story ideas from that, or is it?
Yeah, I think absolutely. And he used The Thought Book later in some stories, and, you know, people in The Thought Book appear, and there's a lot of information about, you know, his friends in St. Paul and these. Many of them remain good friends, and, you know, some of them became, you know, pretty relatively well-known in St. Paul. So it's, you know, there's interesting information about it, you know, about St. Paul at the turn of the last century.
Well, tell us a little bit about what people can find, what relevance this has to their understanding of F. Scott Fitzgerald, if they're a fan of his writing.
For example, one of the people that's mentioned in The Thought Book is Violet Stockton. She's not front and center, but certainly there's a lot of The Thought Book revolves around her. She came up to spend the summer, and what's interesting about her, she seems to have disappeared. So this woman who was like one of the first Southern belles in his life has more or less fallen off the face of the planet. I've tried to, you know, dig up some more information about her, but it's been difficult. Because she wasn't from here. And later on, he puts her into a short story called He Thinks He's Wonderful that he wrote, I believe it was in France, you know, maybe 20 years later. So it's the same, you know, kind of femme fatale that shows up in The Thought Book that shows up later in this short story. And so he describes her as having eyes like violets. So, I mean, it's, you know, clearly Violet Stockton from The Thought Book. You know, and then Marie Hersey also shows up in The Thought Book, and she later married William Hamm, who was kidnapped. And, you know, so there's these connections through St. Paul society.
So in many ways, it's an historical sort of record as well as being just a creative endeavor for Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, there wasn't fiction in there. It's strictly... you know, snippets of conversation, lists of people, memories of things that occurred. So it's not, you know, any attempt at fiction. It's just a kind of a haphazard record of things that were happening to him. And so it's interesting, for example, the things that he the things that he left out are sometimes just as interesting, because we know some things that happened in his life that don't appear in the thought book. And you would think that they would have, but, you know, they didn't, because it wasn't a diary. I mean, he didn't, you know, write every day.
Mm. We're speaking with Dave Page, the editor of the thought book of F. Scott Fitzgerald, just published by the University of Minnesota Press this year. So I understand you just attended a conference in Alabama, an F. Scott Fitzgerald conference in Montgomery.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, believe it or not, the only city in the entire world that has an F. Scott Fitzgerald Museum.
In Montgomery. Oh, wow.
Yeah, Montgomery, Alabama, because Zelda was from Montgomery, his wife, and Scott and Zelda lived there for a very, very brief time in the 1930s, and so the house they lived in is now a museum.
Hmm.
And there's a group of us in St. Paul that are actually trying to start a museum in St. Paul, because we think one of the most famous Native sons, you know, deserves a museum here in St. Paul. So we were down there to talk to the museum owners, to make a pitch about trying to get a museum here and to get some support for that. And then also there's a lot of papers that are presented about Fitzgerald at the conference as well.
And certainly Fitzgerald was a traveler. As you say, he lived in Alabama for a while. I know he spent some time across the ocean. And
oh, my gosh, he and his family never owned a house. He never owned a house. He traveled constantly. I mean, I tell you, boy, if he spent a year in a place, that was a long time.
Well, he was even up here in Duluth for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, he came up to Duluth in 1909, I know for sure, at least once. They would come to Duluth and to catch a boat to go to Buffalo, where they had previously lived, to, you know, visit friends back in Buffalo. So, and in fact, you know, he uses Duluth, that setting in Duluth, in The Great Gatsby, where he meets Dan Cody on a yacht in, you know, Lake Superior, and then they go, he specifically mentions Duluth, where they go get him a sailor suit.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure when he was in Duluth, he saw the yacht of someone by the name of Tom Cole during one of the Venetian nights in Duluth Harbor. And so that's probably where he based, you know, the yacht on. And the story came from something that happened on the East Coast, but of course then he took it and used his own details from his own life to kind of expand on it. So, yeah, Duluth was, you know, important in The Great Gatsby, believe it or not.
Mm. Gatsby, probably his most well-known novel, I guess it's fair to say.
Oh, absolutely.
I think about the movie with Redford and Sam Waterston and Mia Farrow back in the 70s, but now there's just been a remake.
Yeah, by Baz Luhrmann. I think that film is really, really good, actually. I know that it got panned by a lot of the critics, but I think Luhrmann captured the kind of tone that Fitzgerald was trying to create. I don't know if Fitzgerald would have liked the film, because he did see some film adaptations, I believe, of his work. I know he probably saw some of his works adapted into film, but I think Luhrmann really captured the period really well in that film. I enjoyed it.
Mm.
Leo DiCaprio did a good job.
Right, and oh my goodness, I'm going to now just have to look it up, I suppose.
Yeah, I forget her name as well, but she did Daisy's a really hard role, and I think she did the best of any Daisies that I've seen. There's like been four or five films, so she did a good job.
Oh, Carey Mulligan.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Relief for me to remember her name, too.
Yeah.
So the group, you said, in St. Paul, trying to start up a Fitzgerald Museum. Mm-hmm. It's called Fitzgerald in St. Paul. And,
yep.
And other than talking to people in Alabama, how are the efforts going?
Well, originally, a gentleman by the name of Richard McDermott lived in the birthplace apartment. And he wanted to give the group the birthplace apartment, but the condominium association rules wouldn't allow that. So the condominium was sold, and the money that, you know, that it was worth, he gave to us for seed money. And so we've been doing some things in St. Paul to raise awareness. We just got 501c3 status. I mean, we're right at the beginning of taking off. Richard died last summer, very unexpectedly last fall, and so his gift is going to allow us to raise awareness in St. Paul, to make pitches to try to get more money. So we're definitely going to be doing some things like birthday parties every year and other events throughout the year in St. Paul.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. Dave, thanks so much for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. No problem. Thank you.
Dave Page, who's the editor of the thought book of F. Scott Fitzgerald, which features 24 pages of some writing of Fitzgerald when he was a young teen, published by University of Minnesota Press this year. Minnesota Reads is produced at KMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.